Thank you to Western Washington Coalition for Life for sponsoring today's broadcast of Life Talk Northwest. Born from prayer and a promise in 2018, the WWCFL's mission is to provide encouragement and support through resources, education, and information focused on embracing the beauty and sanctity of all human life. Engage with WWCFL at WWCFL.org or on Facebook at Western Washington Coalition for Life. Thank you, WWCFL, for supporting Life Talk Northwest.
Welcome to Life Talk Northwest. I'm Dan Kennedy, former CEO of Human Life of Washington, and my co-host, Katie, who is bubbly and very knowledgeable, couldn't be here today, so you're stuck with just me. But not just me, because we have a terrific guest and one very timely for what's going on in the nation right now. We have Rebecca Kiesling. Rebecca wears a lot of hats. She is the president and founder of Save the One, co-founder of Embryo Defense. She's an attorney, a mother. She has been an international pro-life speaker and adoption speaker since 1995. She has appeared in documentary films and on Fox News, CNN, CBN, Catholic TV, ABC's Good Morning America, and EWTN. Her story has been featured in Glamour magazine. I didn't catch that one because I don't read that, I guess. In Marie Claire magazine and numerous articles and blogs on Life News, Life Site News, and Live Action. She has also been interviewed on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk radio program and the Eric Metaxas Show. Her powerful story, having been conceived and raped and spared, has changed the heart of Governor Rick Perry, Newt Gingrich, and many legislators across the U.S., Canada, Latin America, and Europe. And I want to thank you so much for being here, Rebecca, and we're so happy to have you join us on Life Talk Northwest this morning.
I'm good to chat with you again.
Okay, great. You've been a busy lady here lately, but Katie did, if she was here, she did send me some questions that she definitely wanted you to answer. But first, why don't you tell us a little bit about your story?
Okay, so I was adopted, and I learned at 18 that I was conceived in rape and met my birth mother at 19 and learned the horrible details, how she had been abducted at knife point, and that's how I was conceived. She was really happy to meet me, but when I asked her about abortion, she told me if it had been legal in Michigan at the time, she absolutely would have aborted me, and in fact went to two illegal abortions, and I was almost aborted. So I literally owe my birth to the law which protected me prior to Roe versus Wade, just exactly 4 years before Roe v. Wade. And I, my birth mother and I are both thankful today because she changed her mind about abortion, and now she's really glad that she has me.
Well, you know, Katie wanted to thank you for all that you do for life, both here in the U.S. and all over the world. And, you know, she realizes you have an amazing story, and your testimony has positively impacted countless lives. But she wanted to know if you could tell our listeners about your organization, Save the One.
So Save the One is a global pro-life organization with a network of now over 1,100 who were conceived in rape like me, mothers who became pregnant by rape, incest, or sex trafficking, and who are either raising their children, birth mothers, regret aborting, and then hundreds who were told by doctors to abort. So we specialize in defending all of the so-called hard cases in the abortion debate through our personal stories. We have a website, savetheone.com. That's the number one, not the word. We have a blog with several hundred stories and policy pieces that I've written. I'm an attorney, so I also speak from the legal perspective. And we have videos on our Facebook page. We have lots of videos and memes. And we have a book in Spanish with over 70 stories. Our Spanish page on Facebook has over 100,000 followers because this is a big issue throughout Latin America. They always try to legalize in cases of rape. That's where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's nations that are fighting that battle to try to prevent that or to try to get rid of their rape exception.
When you get asked or when any pro-lifer gets asked, you know, or someone comes up to them and says, well, you know, I'm pro-life, except in cases of sexual assault. What is your response to them?
First of all, I know that, you know, people who are pro-life, I mean, they care about life, but they feel like they want to show compassion for pregnant rape victims, and I appreciate that. We want people to care about pregnant rape victims.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, my dear mother and so many of my best friends in life became pregnant by rape, so we want people to care. But, of course, I share my own story because it's stories which pierce the heart in ways in which arguments cannot.
Right.
And I share the principle in the context of my story. And I did not deserve the death penalty for the crime of my biological father. He got to live his life, found him through ancestry DNA, found his identity, and he never spent a day behind prison. He was accused, according to my cousins, he was accused by other women of raping. And he got to live his life, and even the Supreme Court said he didn't deserve to die. The U.S. Supreme Court in Coker v. Georgia said that rapists don't deserve the death penalty. And in the second case of Kennedy v. Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
the court said that even for child molesters, it is cruel and unusual punishment. So how did I, as the innocent child, deserve to die for his crime? That's barbaric. In a civilized society, we do not punish innocent people for someone else's crime.
We are speaking with Rebecca Kiesling, who is an attorney who was conceived in rape and now helps other women in similar circumstances. You know, and you make great points. No child would choose to be conceived in rape, but the circumstances of conception, you know, doesn't change the value of any human being, whether you're conceived through a solid family who may be extremely wealthy or in a poor village in South America someplace, no child is less or more valuable than any other. There is, you know, you can't also say that, well, if, for example, a wife beater rapes his wife, should that child and any other children, should they have their lives taken for that crime? Of course not.
Right. I mean, people will say, well, oh my gosh, you know, she shouldn't have to raise a child. It's going to bring up bad memories of mm-hmm. the father. Well, I'm a family law attorney. I've dealt with, you know, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases involving domestic abuse. There's lots of women who are raising their children who they love and adore, where, you know, the father was extremely abusive to her. And we don't, you know, round up those children and say that, you know, they should all be killed or a mother should be able to kill that child because, you know, the child's a horrible reminder. We don't do that.
Yeah, and, you know, abortion doesn't make the rape go away in circumstances of rape. It's just a further
right.
victimization of the woman at that point. It doesn't erase that.
It's an extremely violent act, and it's more violence in her body in the exact place where she has already been traumatized. And it's absurd to think that more violence brings healing. It does not. But a baby does have a way of bringing healing. This is what the mothers in our organization express, that the baby was like a little angel that they had to keep them company during their time of healing. And they felt like their child was a victim along with them. And oftentimes a lot of rape victims don't engage in self-care after being raped. But the baby is the one who motivates them to begin taking care for themselves again, whether it's, you know, hygiene or making good choices or their, you know, eating habits. the baby motivates them to get healthy.
That is interesting.
But people just assume otherwise.
Yeah, that is really interesting. I hadn't heard that before, and I've heard almost everything, but I have never heard that can be the one motivator, even when the woman doesn't care about herself.
Right.
She can care about that child. Go ahead.
There's a book called I Never Called It Rape, and it's not about pregnancy by rape. It's just about rape and how women have a difficulty even using the R word, that they don't want to acknowledge that this horrible thing was done to them. And you have women tend to go in one of two directions. So a lot of rape victims either become really reckless and try to numb themselves through alcohol or drugs or promiscuity to try to, you know, prove that, look, he didn't take something so precious from me that I wasn't freely willing to give away. And they're trying to just numb themselves, like, this was just no big deal, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there's other women who go in the opposite direction, who they become a recluse, and they stop grooming and stop engaging in self-care because they don't want anybody looking at them. And they just want to be left alone, and they stay home, and they become fearful, and they're not eating healthy. And in both instances, women say that they vow never to tell another soul what happened to them. So they don't tell their parents, they don't tell their friends, and they just bury it. And it's the baby who motivates them to actually get counseling and get the help that they never would have received and tell their family what happened.
Well, that is quite remarkable. And I have seen women who later have discovered that they were raped, conceived a child, had an abortion, and they kind of just lived their life for years. They were emotionally handicapped. They were destroying their health. They were living... Go ahead.
So many women from our organization who have written out their stories will say that the abortion was worse than the rape and that they were no longer... you know, dealing with what had been done to them, but now what they did to their own baby. And it exacerbated the rape. There's far more factors involved in abortion. And we also know from the only studies ever done that rape victims are four times more likely to die within the next year. They have a higher murder rate, a higher rate of domestic violence, drug abuse, suicide, you know, and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, more violence does not bring healing.
So that is, you know, it is remarkable that these stories are so little heard, get so little time. We're going to have to take a short break here, but when we come back, I'd like to talk to you about how we get the word out. I'd also like to ask you about Rick Perry and Newt Gingrich. And what you said to them to get them to understand what's going on here. We are speaking with Rebecca Kiesling, who is an attorney. She was conceived in rape. She's the founder of Save the One organization. And she is telling her story and telling us why rape victims need to be cared for, but the child also needs to be cared for. And you are listening to Life Talk Northwest. We'll be right back.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Welcome back to Life Talk Northwest. This is Dan Kennedy, and our guest today is Rebecca Kiesling, an attorney who was conceived in rape and speaks to rape victims and politicians and legislators, and you listening to Life Talk Northwest right now. You founded the organization Save the One, number one, Save the One. Could you give the website for that, please?
It's savetheone.com.
Okay, Save the One, number one, savetheone.com.
Mm-hmm. And mine is RebeccaKiesling.com.
Okay, and that's K-I-E, Kiesling.
Two S's.
Right. What's on the Save the One website? What do you have on there?
So we have a bunch of videos right on the homepage, and then we have hundreds of blogs. And they're categorized, so if you're wondering about, like, trisomy 18, or, you know, someone who was pregnant by rape or someone who was conceived in rape, like, we have all these different categories and you can look it up.
Wow. That is a great resource. So pro-lifers out there, you have a lot of material and a great resource for when you're asked those difficult questions. What about messaging? Let's talk a little bit about messaging.
So it's been unfortunate, I would say, for the past several decades, the number one response from pro-life people, like, what about in cases of rape, is to say, well, it's only 1%. And obviously that doesn't win anybody over. and it sounds callous, you know?
It's like, it does.
What percentage do you have to be before you matter, right?
Right.
You know, and it's callous towards the rape victims, you know? It sounds like you're diminishing. I always tell people, don't diminish, just defend. You know, Muslims are 1% of the population. Asians are 1% of the population. Like, you know, you wouldn't dream of saying that they can be discriminated against. They can be denied equal protection just because they're 1%. So, you know, this whole principle of right to life comes from the 14th Amendment. No state shall deprive a person of their right to life, liberty, or property without due process of law, and no state shall deny a person equal protection of the laws. So, you know, no matter what, every person is worthy of the same protection. Don't diminish, just defend. And then we have an easy hashtag that we use all the time, punish rapists, not babies. Mm-hmm. And that can help you to remember that principle that you don't punish innocent people in a civilized society. You just don't do that. And rapists don't get the death penalty, so why should the innocent child have to die for his crime? Even child molesters don't get the death penalty. I ask people, look, in the Me Too day and age, would you support a law that would authorize rape victims or alleged rape victims to say rape, and then they could hire someone, pay someone to have her rapist killed? Or just your innocent child.
Wow. Good point.
I mean, that's what abortion is. You're paying someone to have someone killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from my perspective, they're hired hitmen. You know, they're assassins.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what they do for a living. They end human life. They stop a beating heart. And you wouldn't dream of having a law that would, you know, it would bring healing. Oh, the rapist is a horrible reminder. So, you know, she should be able to pay someone to have him killed. Like, everybody would be like, whoa, what about due process, right? What about a right to trial? And even then, the Supreme Court said, it's cruel and unusual punishment. So how does it make any sense to kill the innocent child?
Excellent.
You know, who's going to be more of a horrible reminder, the baby or the rapist, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
Okay, and then we also use another hashtag, rapists love abortion. And if you just search that hashtag on Facebook or on Twitter, you'll see just a mountain of cases. I get Google alerts regularly of stories in the news, in court, where it was one abortion after another that just protected and enabled a rapist or a child molester, sex trafficker to continue raping. They cannot continue perpetrating without the local abortion clinic. Wow. It destroys the evidence, and it protects and enables the rapist, the child molester. It's the baby who delivers her out of the abusive situation. It's the baby who will ultimately protect her. The baby's the proof of the rape.
Excellent, excellent points. These are things that I'm sure many of us have never heard before. I have heard you speak before, so some of it I certainly have. How did your conversation, now you met Rick Perry, was it backstage before a debate or something?
Well, it was in between two debates in Des Moines, Iowa, during the Iowa caucuses. I'm in the Citizens United film, The Gift of Life, with Governor Mike Huckabee. Mine is one of several stories featured in the film. So I had backstage passes. And I introduced myself to each of the candidates who spoke at the premiere, Bachman, Santorum, Perry, and Gingrich. And I told them that I'm a national spokeswoman for personhood. And right away, Bachman and Santorum said, oh, I signed the personhood pledge. I said, yes, I know. Thank you so much. It came out 2 days earlier. It was a presidential pledge, no exceptions, no compromise. And Perry and Gingrich had not signed it because they were avowed to be rape exception candidates. In fact, 9 months earlier, Texas had passed a sonogram bill, not even saying that a woman has to view an ultrasound before an abortion, just that she has to be told that she has the opportunity to view it. But somehow it was so offensive to suggest such a thing to a rape victim that they had a rape exception.
Really?
That, like, rape victims don't deserve the same opportunity? Really? Which is really discriminatory against rape victims, you know? Mm-hmm. They don't get informed consent.
Right.
And so I handed them my DVDs, Conceived in Rape, From Worthless to Priceless, and our group DVD, Accepting Cases of Rape, 12 Stories of Survival. And then my business card, Conceived in Rape, Targeted for Abortion. You know, subtle. and right away, Governor Perry was stunned. Yes, this is your story? And I told him my story and, you know, that I'm in tonight's film and all that. And he said, can I have your autograph?
Oh, really?
No. Yeah. I said, no. And he said, no, really, make it out to my daughter. And he handed me a marker. So I wrote 100% pro-life, Rebecca Kiesling. And he asked me more questions. And I told him, like, how I was almost aborted at 2 illegal abortions and how, and the work I do on behalf of rape victims and their children, Terminating Parental Rights, my organization. I do speaking. I testify before legislatures, you know. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, you're my heroine.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, wow, thank you so much. But it's funny you say that, because my question for you is, would you be my hero?
Good for you.
And he said, yes, I would. Like, but you make that rape exception. And he put his head down, and he was holding the DVD, and he's saying, you know, wow, this is so powerful. This is so powerful. He was thinking about it.
When he put his head down, you didn't say bad dog?
No, in fact, I said, I wanted to get my photo taken with you, but my battery's dead. And he said, well, I'm my own personal photographer, you know, come with me. So we went in his green room where they took tons of pictures that he never sent me.
So, Rick, if you're listening.
He did use film of us, though, for his ad campaign. And then he kept looking at the camera saying, I just can't imagine. And I looked up at him and I said, you know, when you make that rape exception, that's like saying to me that I deserve the death penalty for the crime of my biological father. And I said that, you know, Supreme Court said rapists don't deserve the death penalty, even child molesters. And I asked him, but you believe that I, the innocent child, deserve to die for his crime? And he said, no, I don't. And I'm like, well, and he stopped me and he said, you know, tonight's event and this film, are supposed to be all about changing hearts and minds. And right now, you're changing my heart.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, changing? Like, what's that supposed to mean? You know, is this just a politician trying to get out of it, right?
Sounds like an attorney questioning, yeah.
Yeah, so I challenged him, no more rape exceptions. And he looked me in the eyes and he promised no more rape exception. He said that he had just never put a face to the issue before. He never considered it from the perspective of someone like me. The next day, he signed the personhood pledge, and so did Newt Gingrich. And he went on national television explaining the change of heart, saying he could not look me in the eyes and justify the rape exception any longer. And then he went back and he changed Texas. And they ended up passing some of the best pro-life legislation in the nation. No more exceptions. None of them ever since.
Wow, that's
like,
great.
It's been, I don't know, 12 years. No exceptions ever since.
Wow. So we have about a minute and a half. Could you tell us a shortened version? I hate to do this to you. Could you tell us a shortened version of your journey of faith?
Sure. I was adopted and raised Jewish. My adoption story was infertility-centered, so no big-picture worldview. You know, I was here because of their infertility. Like, you know, they wouldn't have wanted me if they didn't have to. And I struggled with those issues. I didn't feel like the Jewish people were my people, even though I had compassion for relatives who had been slaughtered in the Holocaust.
Sure.
And so, you know, my journey to find my birth mother was supposed to help, you know, find my roots, and instead it was much worse. But today I know I'm not a product of rape. I'm a child of a rape victim, and I'm a child of God.
Yes.
And I know that I was created by God in His image for a purpose, which was not to be aborted, for good and not for evil. And, you know, what man meant for evil, God can use for good. And I'm so grateful my life was spared, but it was spared for a purpose to go back and save others.
Terrific. Terrific. We are speaking with Rebecca Kiesling, who is an attorney. She was conceived in rape. She is the founder of Save the One. That's the number one, and it is savetheone.com. Lots of information, great resources. And Rebecca, you have really, you are a blessing to a lot of people. You have been a blessing to us today. And I want to thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And thank you, our audience, for listening to Life Talk Northwest on Sacred Heart Radio. God bless.
Thank you to Western Washington Coalition for Life for sponsoring today's broadcast of Life Talk Northwest. Born from prayer and a promise in 2018, the WWCFL's mission is to provide encouragement and support through resources, education, and information focused on embracing the beauty and sanctity of all human life. Engage with WWCFL at wwcfl.org. or on Facebook at Western Washington Coalition for Life. Thank you, WWCFL, for supporting Life Talk Northwest.